For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Mots, we are back. Episode 171 of the Rink Shrinks. What do you say? You ready to go?
Let's go.
This episode is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online continues to be your number one source for all your basketball wagering needs, including pro and college hoops throughout the year. With up to minute odds, stats, and trends, you can follow your favorite team's path to the playoffs with in-game live betting, contests, and all the best player props. Experience the world's best wagering platform anytime from your desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to become part of the team. And remember to use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here.
So what's going on, BY? How are things going? Give me some updates on what's been going on.
It's been busy. A lot of hockey. Season's kind of winding down here. Obviously, Brian, he wrapped up. You know, I think we talked about that last weekend, but Colin was in the thick of things here with the MIAA playoffs. So since we last chatted, they had a game against BC High, which was a win on Saturday night. Always a fun rivalry, Catholic Memorial versus BC High, one of the, you know, longest standing Catholic schools in the Boston area. So big rivalry there. So that was always a good win. And then they ended up losing Wednesday night to Winchester High School, which was another hard fought, you know, high school game. And it was exciting back and forth game. CM was in the mix. It really could have gone either way, a couple tip pucks, and Winchester got an early goal and then really locked things down defensively. So it was good. It was great, and obviously tough way to end it. Nobody likes to lose, that's for sure. And it would have been nice to get to the Final Four of the MIAA, but what can you do? You know what I mean? And they really did. They had a lot of upperclassmen, a lot of kids on CM, and Colin being in the eighth grade, and your nephew Drew being one of them, just upperclassmen, seniors that were unbelievable, especially taking a young 14-year-old kid kind of under their wing. So it was tough to see those guys, upset after the game and not able to come out with the victory, but it is what it is, and luckily he can, Colin's got a few more years under his belt.
Yeah, it is tough to see the season come to an end, but they had a good run, and, you know, like we talked about before, having that experience for Colin as an eighth grader and getting some real game action and meaningful time at a meaningful time of year is invaluable. So, you know, that's great for him, and, you know, he knows what he has to kind of do to prepare for to be more of an impact player next year. And, you know, I know I text with Coach Rooney, and, you know, he's happy with his play. And my nephew Drew, being the steady Eddie that he is, you know, being responsible down low and playing a solid game that can be relied on. So season come to an end, a high school career comes to an end, and, you know, for Drew as well. So, he's on to the landscaping, yard cleanups and spring cleanups coming up. So he's going to be a busy boy.
Absolutely. And it's supposedly texting Colin about new podcast coming out soon. I think they're trying to become like the Junior Rink Shrinks or something, Drew. And
perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll take him under our umbrella.
Absolutely. I'm getting all my kids confused here. And then Liam, we had the round robin in the EHF playoffs this past weekend. So three games, we ended up going 3-0. So it was a good start, and off to the semifinals this weekend against an Eagles team that we've played a bunch this season. So looking forward to that. And, you know, EHF kind of championship weekend, semifinals and finals. So exciting times. And actually Colin, now that he's knocked out, he actually will be in the U14 state championship this weekend as well. So plenty of hockey left here in the Yandle household.
Yeah, coming to an end, but good showing from the household, though. You know, just going deep in the playoffs and then moving on. And that U14 kind of situation is kind of an interesting dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very, and I think we had something later on and that was actually posted to us in the My Hockey Rankings question of the week. But the
Why
don't we get to it early? We can do a little reverse. So the My Hockey Rankings question of the week was, do we have any, actually, let me read it, what the writer actually put it in here so I don't fumble too much over things. Again, so here we go. My Hockey Rankings question of the week. Hey guys, any idea why the Mass State tournament for the U14 age group is taking place prior to the MIAA tournament being over? Which, there you go. So yeah, so it was in the, obviously, if Collins' team continued to win, they'd be playing this weekend, and they're involved in the U14 state tournament this weekend as well. So it is interesting. I know there's a lot of different teams that could potentially be affected by this. Obviously, U14 age group, but these kids are either freshmen or eighth graders, so you have to be playing varsity hockey. But it's definitely interesting timing, I would say. The championship weekend for the MIAA state tournament doesn't finish up around here till St. Patrick's Day, which is, I believe like March 17th. So I'm not really sure. I don't have the answer to this. To me, typically it was always in the fall, Mots. Do you remember when Ryan was playing in that age group?
That was the one that did have the split because the U18s would do states and nationals before the season.
Mm-hmm.
And
nationals too?
I'm sorry, after.
Right.
Yeah. And then the states and nationals were after the U14 for some reason.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know why. I have no clue why, but that's the only year it was the case.
Wait, so I think typically before it was always U14, 16s and 18s was always in the fall, like right before high school. And that this may be the first year that they moved it to March, which is interesting to me.
For the U14s?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just trying to think right now. There was just one difference in that year. And I want to say,
so you want to say I'm wrong?
Yeah.
So it's always been in the spring.
Whatever age group.
This time of year. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I thought I remembered in the past that it was in the fall, because a lot of times, especially here in Massachusetts, it is a little bit different with the influence of high school hockey and kids. That there's some full season U14. Teams, but there's also some split season teams. So typically from what I remembered, and I know I haven't ran an organization in a while, but the 14 age group, that championship, to get to nationals took place in the fall. And then you would still go to nationals, say, call it April 1st or right around that time frame. So it's, to me, it is weird timing, because I know, I can think of just, there was a good, potentially, we had on Collins U14 team, there was like eight kids playing, eight or nine kids playing MIAA hockey that could have been affected by this. Obviously Collins team, they lost to Winchester, which, we have one kid on that team that will be playing this weekend that he plays at Winchester High School. So it'd be interesting to just see how it kind of all plays out. And then there's a couple other kids in, the Division II, Division III that are still in the mix as well. And obviously things haven't shaken out completely. We don't know if they're going to win or lose yet, but it is just interesting timing, I find.
Well, ideally you want to be able to play as long as possible in the winter season and win a championship with your team and still be able to, play for the team that you had, the split season with.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases it could be like a full season situation, because that U14 level is very tricky, because Ryan was an eighth grader. There was a lot of ninth graders on there. So we did come back. I remember we did come back after the season.
Okay.
For states.
So you did?
Yeah. Yeah, no, but everything is wrapped up for the other age group.
Okay, gotcha.
That's what I was saying. Yeah, it's the only age group that has them after.
Okay, right.
The States, yeah. So that was the one thing that was interesting for some reason. So, like, I don't know why. I don't have a good answer for that. And maybe we could ask someone at USA Hockey or someone like that, but why they have it just for that age group. But I remember coming back and there were some kids that played varsity as freshmen, but we had to supplement some players throughout the winter season to have the, so it was considered a split season, but we still played a full schedule.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, it stinks for the kids that are in good programs and playing and striving to win a championship, and they miss out on that other opportunity.
Right. Absolutely. Well, enough about my crew, but that was a good one with, get things kicked off early here with the My Hockey Rankings question of the week, especially with it being a mailbag episode. How's your crew doing? We really haven't talked about them.
Yeah, doing well. My daughter Rowan had a volleyball tournament at the Convention Center of Boston.
At the BCEC, right? Yeah, that's hilarious.
My goodness. It's impressive is what it is.
Yeah,
You get in there. It was like 95 volleyball courts, whistles, cheering. Yeah. It is a lot. It's like sensory overload, but yeah, they went 3-0 on Saturday. And it was like a no big deal type of thing. You know, just kind of made quick work of a couple teams. I really do love watching volleyball. It's such a team game. But yet, when the ball gets hit to you, it's kind of like baseball where you're on an island. If the ball gets hit to you, you got to make a play. You know, the ball, comes to you in volleyball. You have to kind of somewhat keep it up, to be, a productive part of the team. And Rowan's a setter, so she's always involved in the play. And, it's pretty cool to see her out there and being the little general, Yep. So,
court general.
Yep. That was a lot of fun. Brooke had a game on late Sunday night, came up on the losing end, but I thought she played really well. She had good jump in her legs, was a little more aggressive defensively, good sticks. On the way to the game, we talked about visualization as far as before a game. I'm like, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about the game right now? She's like, nothing.
TikTok.
Yeah, right. She actually had some tunes playing, so... like, that's pretty cool. Good playlist. You got a good playlist going. But now what about the game? So, those ideas that I gave her were just, what color shirt is the opposing team wearing? What color shirt are you wearing? Put yourself in positions that, you'll be in the game and having success, whether it be stick on puck, with the puck, making a play, just seeing it before it really happens. And she's like, Yeah. Dad, can you turn the music back up? So
Dad, you just said I had a great playlist going.
I know. So anyway, it was they came up on the losing end, but that was about it. And Ryan actually was able to get in contact with a North American Hockey League team and went down and met the coach on Friday. The Maine Nordiques were playing the Generals down in Attleboro, so he was able to take that game in. I watched the game with him, and he was met the coach afterwards, and he's planning on going up there and practicing with those guys in a couple of weeks. So
great,
kind of next step, and kind of see where he slots on that level of play. And so it's exciting times. Still a lot of unknowns on that side of things, but it's going to be a good opportunity for him to see kind of like that structure and not have to be completely committed to it. So get a little taste of it and see where it goes.
Awesome. No, that's great stuff. Couple things to chat about here before we dip into the mailbag here, but obviously Lindy Ruff was fired by by your old team, the Devils. They named Travis Green the interim head coach, which obviously Green's got prior head coaching experience up in Vancouver and been around the game for a long time. But what do you think about the timing of Ruff getting fired kind of, right before trade deadline and everything?
I know. It's interesting. I mean, I've played with players that played for him in Buffalo, and he allows guys to really get up the ice, like forwards, we could have two guys driving the net just as long as you're working to get back. So he really pushes the offensive side of the puck. He made some you know, say questionable decisions, you know, down the stretch that led to kind of maybe accelerating the firing. They've been sliding a little bit. And again, the coach is always kind of the guy that the management can point to, and, you know, they can be unhappy with the players and the play on the ice, but, you know, the fall guy is always the coach, and you can't fire the players. So you have seen it, you know, throughout this season where there has been a shakeup and, you know, a positive response from the team. So I think Tom Fitzgerald's hoping for that. Lindy Ruff in the interview was very professional about it. And, you know, Fitzy was just saying that he made it very easy for him to make an uncomfortable decision. And that just shows what type of guy he is and what type of pro he is as a longtime bench boss and player. So, and, you know, there's even talk about him getting reunited in Buffalo. Like, he's a guy that will, if he wants to, find another job.
Right. Yeah, he's been around the game for a long time, either as a head coach or an assistant coach. So you can see him definitely landing on his feet somewhere. What about this NHL trade deadline? Obviously, things are heating up. Obviously, as we're recording this, we got Noah Hanifin to Vegas, and there's a lot of chatter out there, some different moves. But I think the Hanifin move is the biggest at this point in time, right?
Yeah, I mean, Vegas is really loading up. Anthony Mantha as well.
Yep.
Going there. And I mean, I like their aggressiveness though, you know, like right from the beginning of the inception of the organization, they really took to, you know, setting goals, and they accomplished winning the Stanley Cup within that time frame. And, you know, they're not just sitting back and just hoping that the current roster is good enough, because they do have a really good team. This makes them, so much deeper. Hanifin, you know, it's a rental per se. Maybe they work out a deal. Who knows? But being aggressive at the trade deadline shows the fans, shows the guys in the room that you're in it from the management side to win it. So it's pretty exciting. And Noah's an awesome dude. You know, we know him well, and he deserves a shot. You know, he's been playing really well the last few years. And really, taking his game to another level. So, getting inserted into that lineup, Coach Cassidy has some defensive structure in place, but with those offensive weapons, he's going to be able to really provide some offense as well. So I'm pumped to see it. But that's a big move by Vegas. They're loading up, and they're going to be tough to contend with down the stretch and into the playoffs.
Absolutely. Yeah. They were obviously in contention already. And then they put, you know, Alec Martinez on long-term IR to clear some space for him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens down the stretch here. And obviously the Vegas Golden Knights, Florida Panthers, obviously grabbing Tarasenko. They're another team that, you know, the East and West, like a potential rematch in the Stanley Cup finals here.
Yeah. And, you know, it's kind of a fun time of year, though. There's like trade rumors.
Oh, it's awesome.
And,
yeah.
You know, you got guys who are very valuable, and then, you know, you look at contracts and how much they can get for them. And it's pretty neat. And like with the Bruins, you know, that they need to make some tweaks. You know, they're in a good position, but they really do need some more depth in a couple areas. And I mean, the one thing, the goaltending has been, you know, a solid piece of that success. And do you tinker with that, or do you just hold strong and try and, you know, work with the, you know, the skaters, like, you know, depth forwards, or maybe even, you know, just add some depth on the back end, or you can make a big move and, you know, Allmark would probably be the target, you know, under contract and having, you know, success the last, you know, 3 years here, and, you know, being a solid number one and on most teams, and then you could get something in return. But who knows? That's the fun part. We can chat about it, but, you know, we don't get paid enough to pull the trigger, or, you know, we're just fans. We're just fans.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's pinging our phones like Elliot Friedman and the boys up at the.
We're no insider.
Yeah, exactly. we can just speculate and just watch and see how things play out. couple of things he had a chat about, but recently there was a video that was posted, and I don't want to get into like where it was or anything like that, but it's just, this is just like a friendly reminder to kids posting videos, taking pictures, even comments on people's, you know, Instagrams or whatever it is, like that stuff doesn't go away. So let's like remind our kids, tighten it up, be smart, you know, go out, have fun. We're all about having fun, but let's put the phones away and be smart about things and not ruin memories. Right. So again, it you know, whether it's comments or videos or posting stupid crap, just be responsible. And you know, what happens on the ice, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. Nobody needs to see videos of that stuff. I saw an article the other day of schools just like having phones that you know, when they enter the school, they have to basically like lock up their phone. They put it somewhere in some type of bag. And it's like, maybe these rules should start taking place in locker rooms as well. Just put your phone, put it in a bag, and just leave the thing alone. Keep it away, because it's just nothing but a distraction. And you don't even want the temptation of taking a video with somebody or something or something that's going on. It really, just be responsible, I guess, is my message.
Yeah, no, I kind of agree with you more. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, when we went out to that, it was like USA Hockey, you know, through Mass Hockey, actually. And Coach Cavo was talking to the kids and the parents, and, you know, you don't want to shrink your pool. And they go back and look at social media. They look at a lot of different things, you know, to find anything that might be a red flag. And, you know, so you take the IVs out, you know, there's, you know, you have 60, whatever.
For most of us.
Yeah. No, I was just saying for the bulk. And, you know, you keep shrinking your pool if you, you know, make some bad decisions or, you know, just aren't kind of mindful of the decisions that you're making on social media. And it might not even be you, but it's your actions that got caught on something. So just something good, another good reminder you can learn from, you know, others' mistakes and some advice from people who have maybe been burnt by it, but, or who are kind of looking to see what type of person, you know, they are behind like the player. So just make sure you're making the good decisions, and that phone is, and can be a real problem area. So just keep it tight.
Keep it tight. Exactly. There was just an article on a big prospect coming up in The Athletic too, that I was reading over, and a kid that, you know, he could potentially be a first round pick, and he's going to end up, you know, who knows if a team will even take a flyer on him. Kid out playing out in Tri-Cities, I believe, in the USHL. And he could go from being a very, very high potential pick to not picked at all. So because of stupid decisions that are made with the phone. So again, be responsible, be smart. Don't put yourself in a bad position. And Mott's, like you said, don't shrink your pool. And I wish I was able to take in the prep school championships this past weekend. I thought it was pretty cool that they hosted them down at Harvard University. But, you know, a couple teams and games, you know, so obviously we had some interest in them. But Rivers ended up losing to the Canterbury School in the small school championship. Dexter Southfield, they played Kent. Kent won that game in the big school championship. And then Cushing, you know, my alma mater, they ended up losing to Kimball Union in the Elite Eight championship. Again, pretty cool that they were able to host the tournament at Harvard. I know last year I was able to go up at St. Anselm's, and obviously this year it's basically in my backyard and I couldn't make it over. But always a great time, you know, the way that they do the private school, the championships, and kind of bang through it. It's really like, you know, they play Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday is very quick, but at least it kind of gets it over with. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. And you know, all these schools, you know, a lot of good players. And the cool part is, you know, when you get to that tournament, there's a lot of people watching, right? Whether it be, you know, because it is confined to a short time frame. But I would say, you know, that Rivers team, a lot of young players on yeah. that team, some eighth graders that I think we mentioned a few times throughout some of these podcasts, but I'm really happy that they were able to, you know, have some success and gain some experience through getting those quality minutes and, you know, losing to Canterbury. Canterbury is, you know, a good program that, you know, has some older players. So that Rivers team is going to be a team to look out for the next couple of years.
Yeah, no, they definitely will. And I actually ran into a couple of those boys today over at the, you know, at a game, and I was like, oh, what happened in the finals? You know, they're like, congrats on a great season. And they were saying that they're like, yeah, we didn't, you know, they give the token, like, we just didn't play well. We didn't show up. And then it was like, you know, they had a lot of older kids. And I'm like, hey, I'm like, you guys should be proud of the way that you guys played. Like, you got a great taste of it this year. To make it to the finals with four eighth graders in the lineup consistently is really good. And then you just continue to get better and see what happens next year, right? So it a really good experience. And all those teams, I know obviously they can only be one winner in each division, but really good hockey. And like you said, I know you know, my father was over there, a bunch of other buddies of ours, Mott's over there, a lot of scouts, a lot of different evaluators in the stands. So it is unique and cool how they do it. It's the three games. I think you know, first one was at like noontime, and then it was just like one right after the other. So it's good stuff there.
And I forgot to mention, on Monday we had the Thayer year end banquet.
Oh, nice.
So
it was,
yeah. So Courtney, my wife Courtney, put together a nice little slideshow with music and whatnot. You know, the AV talents were put to use and tested a little bit, you know, because nice. Of the Wi-Fi and whatnot. But yeah, she emailed it out to everyone. And one of their classmates, Drew Schneider, takes a lot of pictures. Like, that's like his thing. Like he captures a lot. Right. So there was a lot of good footage from, you know, games throughout the season. And
so he uses, you know, the phone the right way.
Yeah, he actually uses the camera.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Not the, all right. Perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good to see everyone, you know, kind of get back together. And it's kind of nice to see, you know, a little tradition, like juniors get up and talk about the seniors and give them a gift and stuff like that. And the coaching staff goes through all the players and, or the seniors in particular. And, yeah, it was really nice. And Ryan was able to receive the coach's award, which kind of really, you know, kind of speaks to, you know, his leadership and whatnot, and, you know, other parents and people talking about, you know, the way he took some of the younger players in under his wing and, you know, starting in the off season at the gym and stuff like that. It was a nice night to hear some nice compliments, and it was good to see everyone there. And you know, and Court did a good job. We might have to put that out there on the
CEO stepping it up.
Yeah, she has a lot of skills.
She does. She does. One of them was obviously marrying you. actually, and now that you say it, Brian, we obviously weren't able to make it, but Brian won a. They had a little banquet out at Cushing. They started their break on Wednesday this week, which, so he's off for a couple weeks. Nice little spring break for these prep schools, which is nice. And he's hoping to get down to Florida to my brother's. Must be a nice life. But he won a sportsmanship award, which was cool. I'm like, oh, what did the coaches say about you and all that stuff? Or whoever gave the presentation, like, oh, I don't even remember. I'm like, well, hey, at least you won something. So it similar to Ryan, right? Like, you know, that's great. And that's something as a leader of the impact that he had on those younger kids, they're never going to forget, which is obviously amazing. And same thing with Brian, right? I was like, you know, you're proud of him, right? Because that it shows their character and it's being recognized, which is really cool.
Yeah, no, and that's, and speaking of your brother, I saw a post for the, you know, before the Milton Wildcat girls and Duxbury girls matchup.
Oh, did we get a final on that?
2-1, Dragons.
No way.
Yeah. Yep. So, KY, you know, hit the drawing board with your motivational speaking. But
I got the text this morning from Court and and her friend Jess. I was they were calling is Jess's daughter on the. Does she have two girls on the team?
Yeah. So yeah, it was great. Dan Najarian Nudge,
yeah,
is the coach. He shot me that video
bulletin board material.
Exactly. And he's like, yeah, Mats, you gotta have a little rebuttal here. So I was on the job site and on a break, I sent a quick message to the girls and I kind of wanted to beat up KY a little bit, send him back to his litter box. But anyway, it was good. I guess it was a really good game. Zoe Madigan scored in the second and third. To make it was a 2-1 game. So
wow, hey, that's a good battle. Good battle.
Yeah.
Good showing for the Milton High. Yeah, I think Keith got my sister Lauren obviously is a big Milton High girls hockey team alumnus, so she must have put Keith on the horn for that one and made him do it.
Yeah, that's great. It's good stuff.
No, it's great stuff. All right, it's we've been putting off the mailbag for long enough here. Enough about us. Okay. Before we do so, let's talk about Franklin Sports, the official street hockey partner of the National Hockey League. Check out their line of official NHL street hockey games and training equipment at franklinsports.com today.
I'll take the first one here. What are your thoughts on all the prep schools going to the academy model compared to a normal travel program? Do you feel that attracting players for an education as well as hockey is any kind of advantage over a regular travel program made up of whoever is willing to drive in practice in games? Should USA Hockey create different divisions for the Shattuck St. Mary's and BK Selects compared to the non-school affiliated programs? In Western New York area, it seems like all the private schools are starting to swallow up the travel players at the expense of the rest of the travel hockey and high school hockey. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we just had the guys from BK on last week and talked about things. And obviously, the advantage that they have is basically they're hockey academies, right? So the kids are going to school, which I think is an important piece of it, right? They're getting their education and they're interacting with kids not only from the hockey team but also other students within the school. But then they're at the rink. 3-4 sometimes even, 5-6 hours a day, right? They're at the rink a lot, they're working out, they're skating. So they clearly have an advantage over a kid that's just playing at your regular call it select level team. It's a different model, but it's funny. Obviously, we've seen in the last month or so here, Dexter, which obviously we talked about earlier in the prep schools, they've talked about doing this academy type format at the, U13, 14, 16, and then obviously they'd have their prep school type teams that would still play. So it's interesting. Again, I think each model is going to be different for everybody, right? Some kids are going to go to Shattuck, some kids are going to go out to BK, and there's a bunch of different, American Hockey Academy is right down the street here and plays out of Canton. There's some different programs that are around, right? And some of them are affiliated with schools. Some of them are doing online type of schooling. Obviously here we have, very saturated in terms of the prep schools, right? So that's just a different experience and everything. So yeah, I don't even know how to answer this. Obviously Western New York, I think compared to Boston, or at least the New England area, is a little bit different, right? Just because we have so many schools here, but it's a lot to navigate. I don't know. I really don't have an answer to you.
I think that it does, attract players, mm-hmm, with the education piece, and in the right situations, there's definitely an advantage because you are specializing in hockey, but you're still getting an education. And when we talked about, with the BK guys, that brick and mortar is a huge kind of positive when dealing with the academy situation, just like AHA. And we have, a brick and mortar situation with in classroom, in person, interacting socially with people at school, and then you're focusing on hockey. So I do believe that it does attract players more than just a travel program.
Right. Yeah. And we've seen it too. Obviously Mount St. Charles is gone to a similar format here down in, you know, not necessarily right around here, but down in Rhode Island. And they have the boarding piece of it as well, similar to a BK, which is a is an advantage. And it helps attract people like Shattuck does and bring kids in from all over the country and even all over the world, to be honest. Kids are coming from everywhere.
Right. Exactly.
Good one there. Let's get to the next question here. Okay. Hey, guys, longtime listener from back in the Chicklets pod days. Never miss an episode of the Rink Shrinks and love listening to it in the summer while I cut the grass. Always varying my pattern to keep looking the best. I love it.
Love it. Yeah.
I'll try to keep as short as I know how much loves reading these. Hopefully we don't need Jersey to help. As VP of a small town minor hockey association in Ontario, I could send you a mailbag story every week of what I see and hear around the rink, but this was new to me. This past weekend, we hosted a tournament. In one of the U11A games, a parent was yelling from the stands at a junior official, 17-year-old, after he called a penalty. The parent was extra, extra aggressive, and the senior official kicked him out of the stands. When the parent refused to leave, the referee threatened to call the police if the parent didn't leave. The referee refused to drop the puck till the fan left the stands. Great move. Finally, after a few minutes, the parent left the stands and the game resumed. The team retained a lawyer. My guess it is the parent on the team, and is now threatening legal action to recover the damages that this has caused and demanding a refund of tournament fee, or they will pursue this matter to the full extent of the law. We are a small association and use this as a fundraiser to help keep registration costs affordable as possible. The refs were hired from another town, as we do not have our own referee association. The team lost this game 5-0 and left the tournament winless and goalless. They were one of the higher My Hockey rankings ranked teams coming into the tournament, but they had a difficult weekend, losing all three games. While I understand you are not lawyers, nor do you play or do you play one on a podcast, but any advice would be great. Thanks. And this is from the fed up volunteer up there in Ontario.
I just think it's absolutely ridiculous that an adult would take it to this level after acting the way they did. And yeah. I think it was handled properly and, you know, pursue this matter the full extent of the law. Like, the tournament fee is, I mean, that this guy should come to his senses. I mean, I would hope with some, you know, just like normal conversations, right? And I that's, you know, hopefully cooler heads prevail after understanding that this was, you know, kind of a ridiculous situation. And, you know, the parent getting upset about the outcomes of games and whatnot, or the penalty in this particular situation, seems a little egregious in my opinion. So I would say just stay the course. Hold your ground, and you're doing a good job, you know, by, you know, raising funds to keep the cost down. So just you present your case, you know, if it ever gets to that point, and hopefully this is just a situation where the guy is running a little hot and is just blowing smoke.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. I would 100%, if this guy continues to be a jerk, absolutely. Okay. Yeah. You want to bring in lawyers? You want to, here's the video. Here's how big of a donkey that this guy acted like
exactly
during this situation. And let's play that. Let's get that into court and make sure everybody can see how much of a jackass that you acted like yelling at a 17-year-old referee. So again, good job. Great job. You're volunteering your time. You think you're doing the right thing, and you got idiot parents who act like this because they're upset that you know, they were the higher ranked team and they ended up losing all weekend long. But you know what? Hey, we always talk about it. The rankings are obviously great, but sometimes the better, the higher ranked team doesn't always win. So I love it. Stay the course, and you guys are doing the right thing up there.
Exactly. This mailbag is brought to you by TS.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
TSR is located in tax-free Salem, New Hampshire, where you can stock up on all your equipment needs for the remainder of hockey season. TSR stocks team apparel from CCM and Bauer and does everything in-house, embroidery and printing. You can reach them at their team store at 603-912-5970. Ask for Mike or Dave, and they will take care of you. Now is the time to give them a buzz to talk about how your team can upgrade your gear wear and swag game for next season. TSR Hockey is New England's premier hockey store and is a proud sponsor of the Rink Shrinks.
Yeah, they'll take care. And especially next year, obviously tryouts are right around the corner, end of the season. So make sure you hit those guys up, schedule your time to get them down, get your team fittings, your jersey fittings, all that stuff for next season. So you're looking sharp. All right, I get the next story here. I helped coach my son's U10 A team. Yesterday, we were in our league's tournament championship against a team who we had gone undefeated in league play. It was a tight game, but our kids had been buzzing as of late and took the trophy in a tight 2-0 game. The game was physical with a lot of penalties and a lot of emotions from the parents that would be pretty typical for a championship game. After the game, several parents told us that a coach from the other team pulled out a whistle from his pocket and blew a play down. As bonkers as it sounds, I did remember one play in the third period where my son was called for offsides trying to hold the blue line. It was a curious call as it looked like he held it in, but we didn't think much of it during the game. Today, I looked at Liebon and found the play. Both officials had mentioned that the play was onsides while a mysterious whistle is heard stopping the play. Each ref thinks that the other had called it, but neither did. While you cannot see their bench fully from the video, you can clearly see neither ref blow a whistle. This was a 10U lower tier single A championship. The fake whistle is kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. So the questions would be, have you ever seen anything like this? Have you ever seen anything like that?
I've never seen anything like it. I've seen kids stop when, you know, obviously some coaches have that sick, like, whistle the way they can get kids to change up on their own. So I've seen
Millie.
Yeah, Millie had it and Billy Hansen had it. Bunch of, you know, different coaches throughout the years have that unique little whistle. And especially with young kids, I could see them potentially stopping and thinking that, you know, referee did blow it. But I don't recall ever seeing anything like this. Do you?
No, I've never seen anything like that. I think it's a greasy move.
It's definitely a greasy move. 100%.
Yeah.
But like, what do you do? Do you like investigate it further and try to get the coach in trouble?
I think a call to the organization. Yeah.
The program. Yeah, I think you could call the organization, but I think at the end
because
of the day,
if he's doing it there, I mean, a championship game, like, I mean, it's a character default in my opinion for, you know, just come on, man. I would call the program and just at least make him aware of it. And then you can send the live barn footage.
Right.
If need be.
Yeah, and then obviously, you know, should the coach be punished for it if it's proven? I mean, it's definitely going to be a little bit tough to prove, but if there's no actual video, and I don't know if a lunatic coach that would actually do this is actually going to admit to doing it. So,
okay. But neither ref blew the whistle, and so it came from somewhere.
Right.
And, you know, it can't be proven if, you know, the coach wants to stand his ground. But there should be some type of, you know, internal punishment from the program. I mean, I don't know how far it could go, but
right.
I think it should be brought to light, though, because it's a ridiculous move.
I would just celebrate extra hard and post pitches with, like, you know, a whistle on the top of it or something like that, especially you guys won the ship. So I'd be pumped out about that. But that's a good one from WB. I mean, a good story. And I've definitely never seen it. I know, I mean, some coaches, the only excuse that I would have is some coaches do have that little change up whistle, like where they can they do it on their own. Like I think Tony Amonte had it there too, didn't he? Use the whistle for the line change?
He may have. I don't remember. I think he just yelled.
Yeah.
He may have had a whistle in the arsenal.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think, I mean, some coaches do have that whistle where kids are pretty, like I said, Dick Umiliani was, I mean, that's how he got us to change up in college. It was just that.
Right.
But it was way better than that. So,
it was very unique.
I wish I had it. I love the coaches that instead of having to carry a whistle on their glove or on their necks can do it when they want guys to go. I think Tony did because I remember him coaching.
Yeah, he definitely had. I think he did have that, actually, now thinking of it. It reminds me of a story. I played with a kid named Casey Hankinson in Cincinnati. And Courtney and I were driving back after the season. And we were going to her sister's graduation from college. And then, we made a visit on the way there. In Philly, but on the way back, he was showing me the two fingers and the one finger, like how you can.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was practicing so hard, I got lightheaded on the drive. I had to pull over. I was like, hey, I still can't do it. Like, even after 12 hours of trying.
That's good. At least you were focused on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Driving with your knees.
Yeah. No, so that was a failed, try it, getting a cool whistle so the kids could change up. I still yell.
Exactly. I still have to scream. Speaking of hot things, one of the hottest things about traveling to hockey tournaments is deciding on where to go to eat. But it's really a no-brainer. Colony Grill's home of the famous hot oil pizza and the one-of-a-kind razor-thin crust. It's comfortable. It's friendly. It's run by hockey people, so there's always a game on. If you're heading down I-95 in Connecticut, Westchester area, or if you're in Maryland, Virginia, or Florida, there's probably a Colony Grill close by. Bring the team in, order it to the hotel, or even pick up a steaming hot pie on the way to the rink. You'll agree that Colony Grill lives up to that hot oil hype. To find the nearest location near the next rink you're heading to, head to colonygrill.com. I saw some pictures this past week on Colony's Instagram of different teams at the restaurants and everything, which is awesome. I love that stuff. I love a team meal, getting the crew together. I just wish there was one, right down the street from my house. I'd be there for every meal that I could eat.
Yeah, it's always great going out with the team, and they know how to do it. They'll take care of you. Make sure you check out colonygrill.com for a location near a rink.
Absolutely. Right. You got this one?
Yeah. My son is a first year squirt in Marblehead, Mass, 2014 birth year, and the youngest on the team. He shoots and stick handles in the driveway all the time, and he's pretty good with that on the ice. I think he's pretty smart out there and puts himself in good position to score. I know he's young and maybe it will just come with time, but what can I do to teach him to be more aggressive? And he drills in practice to get him thinking more aggressively. As he gets a little older, a little bigger, he's a bone rack. Maybe he'll be less afraid of contact and play to that. He's having a blast, and I know that's what matters most, but wonder what you think. Love the show. Need you guys to come up to the North Shore and run a camp. Stick taps to the rinks. Well, thank you.
No, that's good. Obviously, Marblehead, North Shore town. We need our passports to get up there, obviously, so it might be difficult. But I think, Mott, for me personally as a coach, I think one of the things that you can do is just a lot of different battle drills and compete, right? I think that's one of the biggest things is throwing the puck in the corner and with two guys in it and just like, hey, go out and get the thing. It's not the most skilled play, but it's all about that heart and that compete level. And that's what really at the, the game of hockey is all about, right? You can have all the skill in the world, but if you can't go out there and compete and hustle and work hard, then, what are you really? So I think it'll come over time. But as a coach, just those little, like I did a drill the other night. It was, and my kids a couple of years older than my 2011s, but it was just like puck in the corner, in the corner, and just like, hey, come out and go get it. You know what I mean? May the best man win, and use your body, learn on that puck, you know, work on that puck protection when you had it, work on that body position when you're going for that battle. I just think it's so important for these kids to start to learn. So, you know, some kids are naturally going to be more aggressive than others, but for the most part, you know, those are a couple things that you can work on.
Yeah. And I think that's all good advice. It's, if you take the puck and just show it to the kids, be like, it's the most important thing on the ice. You know, the most important thing on the ice is the puck, and you want it. You want to be able to keep it when you have it. You want to try and get it back when you don't have it. So just reps in exactly like that drill that you described. We would even do it in the NHL. The pork chop drill, right? You just throw a pork chop into the corner and, you know, and just see who can go and get it. But, you know, just making them aware that there's different ways to win pucks and be aggressive. You don't have to be so physical. It's really about the positioning that you attack that puck battle with. And there's a lot of little tricks of the trade, and, you know, a lot of kids can figure it out as they go with reps. So I would say, yeah, compete drills in small areas is one way to get some aggressive play, or really just kind of a barometer on who naturally has it. And then you can kind of encourage different ways. If a kid's not naturally, if your son isn't naturally aggressive, then you can be like, all right, well, maybe you can do this, you know, like just go through the hands and try and separate from, you know, the player from the puck, and, you know, that 50-50 puck battle, just trying to switch their mentality of being like, you don't want to lose.
Be a dog.
Dog on the puck.
And races are always fun, especially at the younger age groups, right? Just racing, just like a simple one-on-one, or even you're playing a 3-on-3 game, put a puck in the middle of the ice, and hey, first team to touch the puck first is on offense, right? If you only have one goalie or something. So you can just create those little competition, I think, is really important.
And eventually he's going to fill out a little bit more and be more comfortable with a little more aggression. And that actually happened with my son as far as filling out. And, you know, it happened a little later where he was more confident being more aggressive. And so you got to be a little bit patient with that. You don't want to force it, but you can definitely encourage it with certain drills.
Speaking of bone rack, so my brother texts me. He's like, yeah, he's like, you know, remember when dad used to just tell us to drink Bud Diesels to put on weight and no, because it no longer be a bone rack. I'm like, yeah, I don't think we're allowed to say that type of stuff anymore, but I guess I just did. All right. I have a tryout related question. For the first time last season, we decided to try out for a different program. Long story, but we did leave on a positive note and didn't burn any bridges. My son is a second year peewee now. He was all for it. Prior to that, he had been on the same program since he was 5 and doing learn to skate. Needless to say, we ended up signing with a new program. It was definitely not an easy decision for any of us, but we ended up having a great year with great coaching and parents. Fast forward to the present. In the program we were with has folded. Our coach, who we like, found a home with the new program. He'll be coaching a AA peewee team, which my son made. I don't know. There's too many quotations here. He'll be coaching a double, although it's a bit further of a drive for us and our sons. Our son wants to try out for his team. My son also wants to try out for the program we left as he has a few friends from school, but we do have concerns about the coaching, team placement, and numbers. Also, the rink is a much shorter drive for us. Tryouts for each of these programs, 3 sessions for each, are on the same nights at the same times. Any suggestions on how we should approach and what tryouts we should attend for each? Thank you in advance.
Tough situation.
Yeah, very.
I mean, a lot of teams do that on purpose, I would say. So you have to make a decision.
That's what they do.
Yeah. If you didn't burn any bridges and left on a positive note, you know, you hopefully can have a conversation there and, you know, if something falls through on the hire program that you're trying to find a new home for, right? I mean, I would just say it's just tough. It really is. This is a tough situation because you want the best, you know, for your kid. You almost have to make decisions, you know, unknown with the unknown.
Right. Right.
And, you know, sometimes, you know, it can backfire on you because teams, you know, programs want to fill their teams and do this on purpose so that there isn't as much waffling. Right. And my advice would kind of sit down and kind of see all the pros and cons of both and kind of make an informed decision and just stick with it. Even though it would be nice to be able to go to one, see where it's at, and then maybe go back to the other. That could be also a possibility depending on the relationships that you have.
I would say too, with it, so more or less, and there was like some different quotations and things like that that were going on and kind of confusing me, but the coach of the new team is moving up a division more or less, and he's going to be coaching the other team. So I would have that conversation with them, be like, hey, realistically, like this is more of a commitment. If we go there, the tryouts are on the same night. We're not really sure what to do. Should we try to go back to the other program? But there's some overlap there. Where do you think he fits in? Do you think that he'll make your team? If it's, you know, hey, it's not a possibility, I don't think he can play up a level, then obviously the decision's been made for you. But if I think a good coach that you have a relationship with is going to hopefully be honest with you and let you know like where you stand, right? Or, hey, you know, you should definitely come to the first night of tryouts because I really want to see where he stacks up against the rest, right? And then maybe you could go to the other tryouts after the fact, right? So especially with them being overlapping, it's difficult. If you want to really try to make the team that's a little bit higher up, I would probably go to that one first. At least get a, you know, have that conversation with the coach that you already have a relationship with and say to him, hey, can you just let us know if you think this is a complete stretch? We need to go to plan B.
Yeah, no, I think that's conversations and information and then, you know, kind of make your decision. That's
right. Especially, I mean, you're like with tryouts going on the same night, you're screwed. You got to make a decision.
Yeah, it's kind of, you're in a tough spot, but I would say just try and gain as much info as you can.
100%. Sparks is the at-home or on-the-road skate shopping machine. Head to sparkshockey.com. Use BY Mots for $50 off your Sparks sharpener. Sparks is the at-home skate shopping machine that will never fail. Sparks is the gift that keeps on giving for hockey players and parents. It's convenient, it's easy to use, and will save you money in the long run. With Sparks, you get an accurate sharpening every single time. A buddy of mine texted me today, hey, BY, I'm in a pinch. My son, I don't have a Sparks machine. I know you got one. My son's skates need to be done. He's got tryouts tonight at 5 o'clock. I'm working till 4. Hey, run down the basement, use the machine. And he did it, and he's got edges. He's buzzing out there. You know what I mean? He's ready for tryouts. So that's just a quick example of, like, how convenient and how easy to use it is. He's never even used one before. I wasn't home. My wife wasn't home. None of my kids were home. Hey, jump down the basement, use the machine, and you'll be out there ready to go. So again, sparkshockey.com. Use that code BYMOTS for $50 off your Sparks sharpener.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. All right. Question here. New to the pod in the game. As you know, tryouts are right around the corner for us in Massachusetts. I left out your recent post about parents scratching and clawing to get their kids on an elite team. With that being said, our 2016 son is showing a tremendous love of the game and in a little over a year of skating has caught up to the majority of his peers. At what age does that elite tag hold any weight? I see many teams with pretty well-established base of kids. What are the turnover rates for kids trying to crack some of these lineups? More importantly, does it even matter at that age? It's pretty direct and to the point.
I know. So I'll try to be direct at my answers that I'm on. To, you know, so at what age does that elite tag actually hold weight? You know, I mean, I think depending on the program and the team and kind of where they stack up, if you're playing on one of the high-end elite teams at the mite and squirt level, I think it's I really do. You know, Mike Squirts, Pee-wee's, I think it's pretty real. A lot of the kids are good. Are other kids going to develop? Absolutely, right? Kids that are playing tier one and things like that, they 100% are. But that's kind of my thoughts on it. I see many teams with pretty well-established base of kids. What are the turnover rates? Is it tough to crack these lineups? Yeah, I would say so, especially the better teams. A lot of teams, you know, I can speak for me personally. We've turned over probably one, maybe two kids a year since, you know, I've had, you know, my 2011 group that are Pee Wee Majors for, you know, since they were like development age. So it's been, I think I've had seven or eight of those kids since they were like just coming out of Learn to Skate, right? And it's been a good team. It's been very successful. So there hasn't been a ton of turnover. It's been the one-offs kind of each year. So it's definitely a tough lineup to crack, just speaking on my experience. And more importantly, does it matter at that younger age, at that age, right? He's 2016. Does it matter in the whole scheme of things? Probably not. I think when it really starts to matter is when kids start checking, when puberty comes into play. I think that's when it really matters, to be honest with you, as long as you're developing that strong baseline. But you know, again, it's difficult to say, right? Like there's obviously going to be different tracks for different kids. And there's been 1,000 different examples, right, Mots?
And I think, you know, really different programs have, you know, different levels of depth on their teams within the program even too. So it really just comes down to, I mean, the elite tag is pretty, say, ridiculous for younger ages,
yeah,
you know, to call them that. But that top team, you know, you really have to
when you're an elite mite and you crawl into bed with your mom and dad every night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're going places. So it's like, I would say
you should see them on the ice, though. You should see them on the ice. Come on.
Yeah, well, you evaluate the player, your kid, try to see where they slot. Like if it's the elite level and they're right there and they're getting their touches and they're, you know, an effective player at that level, then go for it. Like, but that scratching and clawing is just to have that kind of tag next to the name is absolutely ridiculous. So it really is about the development of the player, right, at that age.
Yeah.
But to, you know, like to your point, answering those questions, yes, the turnover rates do get a little bit more difficult. But if your son is developing and getting better, the only problem is with certain organizations, like that depth even drops off more. So like you're not playing with as many good players consistently, but also that might be the right level for your player. So it is a tricky little kind of situation to navigate, to not push for the highest level, but also what's best for your player. And that's the difficult part right there, going through this process, because it is kind of a crazy time of year. And, you know, we're getting a lot of tryout questions and rightfully because there's a lot to navigate. But I would say you get in early enough and see where your player slots, and you know, you just kind of you go with where the best fit is. If it is the top team, then great, and then you keep working to get better. Just because you're on the top team doesn't mean that you're an elite player,
right? Yeah, you
know?
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Exactly. Okay. And again, I think that's why I always say, like, talk to me once they start checking, once they start hitting puberty. That's when things get real, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, and it's a long road. It is a long road, and you don't want to think that you're, you know, missing out if you're not on the top team. That's kind of the whole point of my rambling.
Mm-hmm.
So, hockey parents, are you tired of going to the same tournaments, or are you just looking for an event that is truly unforgettable? If so, then listen up. Since 2018, MCN Sports Management has become a world leader in international hockey tournaments and tours. With tournaments in four different locations across Europe, there is something for all ages. Whether it is an individual looking to join a team or a full organization looking to travel together, we have the perfect trip for you. MCN is in full swing preparing for their 2024 overseas events. They currently have openings for players and teams from U11 through U17, boys and girls divisions, to compete in some of the most prestigious events in Europe, such as the Nord Cup, the Lions Cup, and the Bauer World Cup. Don't miss out on these unforgettable hockey tournaments and trips that you and your family will never forget. Visit them at mcnsm.com to learn more about each of these tournaments and how to join. That's mcnsm.com. And make sure that you tell them that the Rink Drink sent you.
Yeah, obviously great stuff. And those tournaments we talk about is those memories are really special, which is amazing. So make sure you
make
hit
a
up.
Trip out of it.
Yeah, you know? Make a trip. Make a vacay.
Yeah, take in the sights and sounds and get on the ice.
Exactly. MCNSM.com. Make sure to learn more and tell them the Rink Shrinks sent you. We got MyHockeyRankings.com. Question of the week, part two here. We posted this one on social media, and there's like the comments are outrageous, Mott. So I think me and you got to chat about it. So again, MyHockeyRankings question of the week. If you could make a rule in youth hockey, what would it be? I mean, there's a lot.
Yeah,
there's a lot of rules. We've talked about 10 already on this podcast. I got a couple answers that I can read, but do you want to say what comes to mind right away?
I mean, at youth hockey, it's kind of tough, but I like this rule for some reason, where they do it in the NCAA, where a delayed penalty, and if the team scores, the player still gets a penalty.
Oh.
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because you still committed the penalty,
right?
And, you know, you get off the hook if a team scores on the delayed call, but I think you should still feel shame.
Mm-hmm.
Double shame, I guess.
Shame, yeah, exactly. Especially if they score, and then like that could be talk about momentum swings.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great rule. I think the NHL should kind of look into that, but it's kind of tough. You know, you don't want to penalize the kid too much as a younger player, but. That rule I think should be in effect.
That's right. All. Yeah, that's it. That's a great one. I'm gonna read a couple comments, right? And tell me if you agree with them or not. Have Mass follow the Minnesota model and go back to town-based programs. Do you like it?
Tough in ideal world. It would be kind of cute.
Yeah. No parent coaches at any levels.
Difficult. To again, like this is like ideal world, but I think it could be beneficial.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pay them though. Like, there's no way you're gonna get that many volunteers. There's not many that good guys out there.
Yeah,
bring back hitting at a younger age group.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that. That kind of would have been mine right off the top. Remove elite from all hockey teams.
It plays into our last little chat. Yes, I would do that.
Yeah, tryouts in the fall again. I like that.
I like that. I like that as well.
Yeah,
I mean there is so much like growth from like over the course of like an off season, and kids are tired after the season. I like the fall tryouts, and then you just have to go with what you got.
Yeah, and you can see where kids like who hits a growth spurt, who gets better over the summer, who puts in the work. I mean, I like that. Not allowing coaches. To have their own kids on a team. This sounds like a bit apparent.
Yeah. I mean, I can't agree with that because I lived it.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. Elite. I'm trying to see if I can find any other ones. The cost. Yeah. Good one.
What about half shields for youth hockey players?
Imagine.
that would keep their sticks down.
Yeah, that would be a disaster.
It would be a disaster for years.
Here's one from a goalie parent. More focus on goalie development during practice. This definitely is a goalie parent.
Yeah, it's the one of the most important positions, and it gets the least amount of love, I would say. Mm-hmm. But there's, 15 other players that need to get some work in. So, a good coach can work it in, but I wouldn't say mandated, no.
Yeah. Delayed offsides. This is the last one. Delayed offside. There's a ton more. We could go in a rabbit hole here.
Delayed offsides, I think absolutely. Oh, I would want a hybrid.
And auto icing on the penalty kill. So basically getting rid of those, I believe, is what they're trying to say.
Yeah. I mean the auto ice isn't terrible because you gotta try and like have some touch and gain a zone and whatnot, and not just fire it. But the delayed offside
terrible. It's a terrible rule. The icing. Yeah. You want to be able to ice the puck, especially as they get into like real hockey where teams are setting up power plays and stuff like that. You gotta teach your kids how to get the puck out of the zone and just, you know, win a battle, get the puck out, ice it, because that's what they're doing anyways. And then there's just a whistle.
Yeah. No, the flow of the game has really
kills the flow.
Yeah. The delayed offside though. I mean, I understand. And we've talked about this at length when it first kind of came out and what we've seen, you know, they're trying to force feed skill sets, you know, with these roles, and kids aren't capable of doing it. So what leads to, you know, an automatic offside is just so many whistles. I would love for the younger age groups in youth hockey to have a 5-foot tag up, you know, because those quick ones, it's mm-hmm. like, you know, yeah. allow, it's just a little discretion on the ref, but like it is, you know, a judgment call, but I think it would speed the game up and allow them not just to have the automatic offside versus right. the delayed with it, you know, it takes a little bit more time. So like you could even just say top of the circles, but like even like tighter, like 5 feet, and it would limit the amount of whistles like exponentially and keep the play moving a bit.
Yeah. Be interesting to see how the referees we have around here would handle that one. But
I know,
I guess I'd have to agree with you. You know what I'm seeing the most of here? And there's like 300 and something comments. A lot of daddy coaches, people aren't liking the parent coaches. So sorry about that. But it is what it is because we do it. And I love this one. Parents. Yeah. And that's me being one of them. Like that was one of the comments. Parents. And that's including myself. The parents, like tons of them, the parents, just basically getting rid of parents. They want us to just hockey players to be orphans.
just eliminate parents.
There's like literally like 20 comments in a row of just the parents. Like that's unbelievable.
Well, I can see how a parent coach can leave a bad taste.
You can see that. You know, I think they're talking about the parents in the stands though.
I know, but the parent coach situation, it would be, you know, playing your kid more than deserved or whatnot.
Right.
But yeah, that's going to happen in those situations. And, you know, it kind of stinks at times. But yeah, but the parents in the stands, yeah, that's always going to be, that's why we have a podcast.
Yeah, 100%. Because, you know, dads like Mitch Manas.
Oh, my God.
We watched that video this week. That was, I know that's an old one, but it's crazy.
Just another game, Mitch, eh?
Yeah, just another game. And it's crazy that he's had the success that he's had. Think of how many horror stories of kids, of, you know, people that were like him, that they, you know, kids that didn't make it. And I mean, this kid's blessed enough to be a complete stud, but it really is. It's crazy. But that's a great question. Obviously, myhockeyrankings.com. Go see where your team stacks up, especially as we get to the end of the year tournaments here. All right, couple things before we wrap up. Thanks for the mailbag questions. Those were great. I want to get into defensive skills. Obviously, Mots, there's still a handful of spots left in those two sessions. We get those at Thayer Academy starting up March 25th, 5 p.m. Birth years, 2015s, 14s, and 13s. And then 6 o'clock is the 12, 11s, 10s, and 9s. Again, that's 8 weeks running March 25th. To May 13th. For more information and registration, log on to therinkshrinks.com and click on that defensive skills tab. Mots, we're looking forward to that. And I know there's only a handful of spots left, so make sure you jump on there and register right away.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. We love being out there. And, you know, going back to that, you know, the goalie parent talking about, you know, just specific goaltending time in practice, you know, defensemen don't necessarily always get the reps that they need.
Yeah, we don't get the love either.
Yeah, so we try to really emphasize on situational tendencies and things that you're going to be using in games. A lot of skating, you know, more efficiencies on edges and just like technique with the skating, which I wish I knew at a younger age, you know, to be more efficient on my pivots and then going back for pucks. So like all these little things that really add up if you start making them habits. So make sure you hop on the ringshrinks.com and sign up today.
Absolutely. And then we just put out the camp that we did, the second annual Y3K, the Yandle hockey camp down in Nantucket. So I know there's a bunch of people registering for that. So if you're, you know, if you can make it over to Nantucket this summer, that's going to be July 22nd to the 26th with my brother and I. Mots, hopefully you can make an appearance this summer. We'll get you maybe on a rowboat or a paddleboard or something over there and get you over and hang out with the kids for the day. We'd have a blast. So hopefully, you know, again, that's yandlehockey.com. You can sign up, and spaces are going quick on that one as well. And I want to share this story before we go. This is from a longtime listener. Hey, guys, love the podcast. I've been listening since day one. I never played hockey, but currently have three boys that play, one Mite, one Squirt, and one Peewee. And your show has helped me learn a lot, navigate some situations, and keep a level head most of the time. I'm writing because my boys play for Navy Youth Hockey in Annapolis, Maryland. And for the first time since COVID, the club is bringing back their Hockey for Heroes event. Hockey for Heroes is a 24-hour, round-the-clock exhibition ice hockey tournament to raise awareness and provide financial support to various veteran organizations. All three of my boys were participating, and they're extremely pumped to do so. My son's Pee-wee team is playing the West Point Junior Blackhawks, so we've got some Navy versus Army youth hockey going on. Is there any way you can mention this? Of course, we're doing it now. And if people are interested in donating to the event, you could go to www.nyhhockeyforheroes.org/donate. Again, nyhhockeyforheroes.org/donate. While each team is competing to raise the most money, a donation to any team is appreciated. If not, I totally understand. And we'll keep listening, but you know the saying, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Thanks for considering it, and go Navy. That's from our friend Jared. Well, thank you, Jared, and hopefully we can, you know, we can help some people donate to the cause. And this seems like a pretty cool event, huh?
Really cool event, and you know, the hockey down there in Annapolis, and really, you know, kind of playing off of the rivalry. I like the Army Navy. You know, start them young in the youth, and you know, all, you know, various veteran organizations, financial support, it's huge, right? So using hockey as a vehicle to help out veteran organizations, amazing setup down there. And you know, Navy Youth Hockey for Heroes, it's like one of the things that I would love to participate in, even if it was just, you know, like through satellite, you know, because those are the things that we really enjoy. So all the veterans that have served our country and continue need our continued support. So if you have a couple extra dollars, that'd be great. Check out their website. And thanks for listening from day one, Jared. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we appreciate it, and good luck to everybody. And hopefully you can send us some pictures and videos of that stuff down there. That seems really amazing. And I got, you know, my grandfather was in the Navy. One of my brother-in-law, Bobby, was in the Navy. So that's it really cool. And we obviously love all our veterans. I got a lot of buddies and people that I work with that, you know, were in all the military branches, which I think is amazing. So great stuff. Thanks to everybody for sending in mailbag questions here. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the deadline in the NHL. We'll have more to chat about next week, and hopefully an exciting guest coming for you guys. And once again, just a reminder that this show was presented by Bet Online, and it is time to cue the Ring Shrink Shuffle.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.